on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. Mornings with Leon Compton.
Are you one of the 14,000 Tasmanians who have had your restrictions put in, understandably, off the back of what's been going on in Victoria? 14,000 of us have returned. I don't know about you, my kids not at school, not at childcare. I'm on mask in the office duties and have to leave straight after getting off air. What about for you? When will that be reviewed? Have we had any possible cases off the back of that and what went on at the MCG? So many issues going on at the moment. Dr. Mark Veitch in just a tick to talk with us about the very latest public health advice off the back of COVID-19. 10:06. Then we'll continue our conversation on the A to Z of health. We're up to R this morning, and R is for Ross River virus. If you've had it, if you've got some perspectives to share, I'd love to hear from you. Right. Let's say good morning to Dr. Mark Veitch, the head of public health in Tasmania. Dr. Veitch, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Is there any review you can announce about those mask rules for those that have returned from Victoria over the school holidays?
We're reviewing them all the while. I think it's fair to say it's unlikely that we're going to remove the requirement for people who've recently been in Victoria to wear masks from today, but we will review it, and I'll be meeting with my interstate colleagues and looking at what emerges from Victoria during the morning and early afternoon before finalising that decision and advice.
For lots of people, it'll be about when can my kid go back to school. So currently, I think students have to stay home until through Wednesday. Is there possible there might be any extension of that hey, stay out of school policy?
It is possible, Leon, and I think I just need to remind listeners that this is something that changes almost by the hour. The considerations that I'm taking into account when working out whether or not people need to continue to wear masks is what's happening in Victoria, and the news in terms of cases is relatively good. They've only had a bit over a dozen cases yesterday and today, and they have a good understanding of where they're coming from. But what is happening is that there are many more exposure sites being listed in Victoria for a time when people who are currently in Tasmania could have been in Victoria. So there were 92 new sites yesterday. And when those sites get listed in Victoria, we message people, many of whom will be wearing masks, to go check that whether or not you're at one of those exposure sites. And every day, we are picking up a number of people in Victoria who have been to one of these exposure sites. And we have 37 people in quarantine currently who have been at one or another of those exposure sites when they were at risk. So until we see fewer people amongst that cohort of 14,000 people who have been exposed to potential risk, we will need to continue to ask those people to wear masks.
In Victoria at the moment, you want to go, well, in Victoria a couple of weeks ago, everybody was wearing masks in public places, particularly in shopping centres and so on. Have you considered applying that across the community here, Mark?
It is something that we're considering. Tasmania at the moment enjoys fairly liberal conditions. We haven't had a case, as we know. And the things we consider is what's the external risk, what's the chance of it coming to Tasmania. So in thinking about those things, we do need to think about whether requirements to wear masks or limits to the size of gatherings or density are necessary to put in place in advance of the risk occurring in Tasmania. Clearly, if we saw a case in Tasmania that was posing community risk and we were concerned about wider spread, we'd do what every other state has been doing, which is to apply substantial restrictions up to and potentially including the prospect of what people call a lockdown.
I know you talked about reviewing moment by moment the Victoria regulations that have lots of us wearing masks and the kids out of school and so on at the moment. When will you be providing the next update on that? What is the plan around that?
We'll provide another update for that this afternoon. The reason for that is to provide enough time to see what the new Victorian exposure sites are and also to hear from my interstate colleagues at the Australian Health Protection Principal Committee meeting, which is held every lunchtime.
Okay, but to be clear, For mums and dads out there, grandparents post the school holidays, it is possible that students will be asked to stay away from school beyond, I think it's beyond close of business Wednesday. It's possible that that will be extended.
The decision to ask students to stay away from school is how the Department of Education is, if you like, operationalising the advice. Our advice is for adults and people over the age of 12, students in secondary school, if they're at school, who fit into this category, to wear masks and to adopt COVID-safe behaviours. The approach of Department of Education, which is absolutely understandable, is to say that for practical purposes, they would prefer those students and teachers not attend school and achieve essentially what the mask-wearing requirement is in another way.
Indeed, understandable. Trying to get 6-year-olds to wear masks, good luck with that. I think people well understand the need to do that. Will be interesting to see if it's extended.
The mask requirement is only for people under the age of 12.
So over the age of 12.
Over the age of 12, of course.
Yeah. Has wastewater testing, Dr. Veach, found any fragments of COVID in the Tasmanian supply at all?
No, it's never found it, and that's been running for, I think, about 2 to 3 months now, with weekly results and a good distribution of testing sites across the state, many of them in the most populous areas weekly, and they've consistently come back negative. And that provides us some reassurance that there's no COVID in the community. The other thing that provides us with reassurance is actually the very good levels of testing that's been achieved. Tasmanians have almost doubled the amount of testing that's occurring in the general population over the last several weeks, and the lack of positive cases amongst those people is really encouraging. But certainly anyone with symptoms, wherever you are, whatever risk you think you have, please go and get tested, because that's our best evidence of there being no cases around and gives us the best opportunity to respond to a case very promptly if it occurs.
Dr. Veach, let's talk about the vaccination rollout, which is the pathway for the most part out of this for the Tasmanian, Australian, the global community. We've heard that an extra 1 million doses of Pfizer vaccine will become available. This is at next month in August. Will any of that be making its way in additional volumes to Tasmania?
I'm afraid I can't give you the detail on the distribution of that, but if the ABC reporter at the press conference today would like to ask the vaccination leads, the secretary or deputy secretary, they'll be able to give a little bit more of a explanation of the logistics of the vaccine supply. But we have been using almost all of our vaccine supply that's been coming to us so far. And so the vaccine, an additional vaccine supply would be great. We are still working on expanding the workforce to provide additional locations where vaccines can be provided, and to have some people who can come in and relieve the people who've been tirelessly providing vaccines over the last several months. So,
Mark,
expand and refresh the workforce.
We have been slower than other states in terms of embracing pharmacy rollouts of the vaccine. Could we accelerate that as a pathway to lifting vaccination rates?
The process of getting pharmacies on board is happening, and there are some Commonwealth processes that also need to play out before that can occur. So we're working with the Commonwealth to have that happening as soon as it's possible and safe. We also need to ensure that the pharmacists have completed their training, and I'm sure most will, and that the pharmacy settings are safe for the delivery of vaccines. The timing of those, I think, is in the middle of August the first pharmacist, the first community pharmacies will be starting to provide vaccine. And they'll be provided in those parts of the state where there's the greatest need. We think it's important to concentrate on where the pharmacists have got the greatest potential for contributing the most. And that's actually in most of our major population centres.
Front page of today's Mercury, the story of a young person living with disability, eligible under 1A for a COVID vaccine, but that has not been provided at this stage. Why is the vaccine rollout for people living with disability taking as long as it has?
The disability rollout was initially the responsibility of the Commonwealth, and they still retain responsibility for providing it to people receiving disability services and people working in that sector. But as a state, we're also stepping in to support that Commonwealth responsibility.
Is that to pick up the pace? I mean, is that because of your concern with the speed at which that rollout has or hasn't been taking place?
I think it was recognised that the disability sector was lagging in getting vaccines. And so there's, amongst a lot of other priority sectors, there were also steps taken to expedite that.
We seem to have more supply of AstraZeneca vaccine. That's the one I've had. It's probably the one that you've had as well. We've heard that in some very rare cases, there are issues with blood clotting syndromes. Are there current cases? Have there been many cases in Tasmania of that rare blood clotting syndrome that are current at the moment, Dr. Veitch?
We have had cases in Tasmania, and as with all serious side effects, there's a review process that ensures that anybody suspected of having this condition has their clinical circumstances assessed both locally and through a national expert body, and those findings are reported publicly in the Thursday report of the TGA every week.
Right. Those are reported in the TGA. Has anything happened that through the course of this that has changed your advice or thinking about the AstraZeneca rollout? People are still lining up to have it, of course, and some people still asking questions. How comfortable are you with the AZ rollout at this stage?
I think AstraZeneca has been the workhorse vaccine up until this point. Pfizer vaccine is going to become available in greater numbers in the coming weeks and months. And as I think people understand, it is likely that Pfizer will then become the principal vaccine that's being used. Pfizer has been very valuable as a way of providing two doses of vaccine to older people, but people will be aware that the risk of clots is increased in people who are younger than 50, and so there's been an advice for people under the age of 60 to preferably have the Pfizer vaccine. This doesn't mean that people under the age of 60 can't have AstraZeneca if they choose to, but there does need to be a very careful discussion about the risks versus benefits of having the AstraZeneca vaccine if you're younger, because while the risk of getting the clotting disorder is small, it's real, and it can be very serious. And so people need to weigh up that risk against the benefits they will have of getting their vaccination finished earlier if they're in that 40 to 60-year-old age group who may wish to get the AstraZeneca vaccine, but they do need to know that the preferred vaccine is Pfizer.
Dr. Veitch, they're starting to have conversations in New South Wales about vaccine rollouts for younger people, people in their teens and younger. How far away are we from having those conversations in Tasmania? It's certainly happening in the UK and the US. Where are we up to with that?
We will be guided by the advice of the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and also the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation when they provide advice that it's appropriate to drop the age, for example, down to age 12. Then we will be looking at how that can be rolled out in Tasmania. And there's been some preliminary discussions and thinking amongst my colleagues in the Vaccination Emergency Operations Centre about what that might look like.
Do you think
we have a lot of experience over the years of providing vaccine to teenagers?
We do. I suppose, yeah, we do have a lot of experience for a range of different reasons. Do you think we're going to get to a point later this year, next year, where young people will be getting vaccinated against COVID-19?
I expect we will. I can't give you a date for when the rollout will begin.
Dr. Veitch, anything else that you would add this morning while we talk about this issue and the changing world of the response to COVID-19?
It is a very changing and challenging environment out there. And I think that public health and our colleagues are doing our best to try and manage the risk from outside to Tasmania, and people will see requirements change over time, and that's because we're responding to the latest information. We can't always see what's around the corner. What people can do if they have recently been in another state is to keep checking the list of exposure sites on the Tasmanian coronavirus website, and if they identify that they've been at one of those exposure sites at the relevant time or place, to get in touch with our public health hotline, and we'll arrange testing and what level of restriction we need to ask you to comply with. We want people to keep on getting tested if they've got symptoms. It's great the amount of testing that people are doing over recent weeks. Please keep it up. And we do want people to keep using Check-in TAS wherever they see the QR code at the entrance to a premises.
Which is a growing number of businesses. Dr. Veitch, good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you, Leon.